Welcome to a special edition of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Today, we bring you an episode of our special holiday musical, The Innkeeper's Wife.
4 days, 4 days of silence, 4 days of wondering where they were, if they were safe, if Herod's soldiers had found them on the road. I went to the cave every morning. I don't know why. It was empty. But I went anyway. I knelt where the manger had been. I prayed. On the fourth day, Flavius returned.
Innkeeper, a word.
Of course. How can I help you?
The Magi. The foreign dignitaries who camped near your inn. Where did they go?
I don't know. They left before dawn, several days ago. I assumed they returned to Jerusalem.
They did not return to Jerusalem. Herod is displeased. And the family in the cave? The carpenter and his wife? The child?
What about them?
Where are they?
Gone.
Gone where?
They left the same night as the Magi. They left quite suddenly and quite unexpectedly.
The same night? Did they leave with the Magi?
I don't know. I doubt it.
You're lying.
I'm not.
Something does not add up here, but we will get to the bottom of it. Herod has issued a decree. All male children in Bethlehem, 2 years old and under, are to be registered.
Registered? Is that what Rome calls it now?
Hold your tongue, old woman.
I'm almost 75 years old. I've held my tongue long enough. You're not here to register children. You're here to kill them.
Careful.
Or what? You'll kill me too? I'm not afraid of death.
If you're hiding them. If you know where they are.
I wish I did know where they were.
If we ever wanted evidence that Herod isn't really our king, but a puppet of Rome.
Search the cave. Search the stable. Search every building on this property. The decree will be carried out tomorrow at dawn. Every male child. 2 years and under.
God help us. God help us all.
I should tell you what happened next, but the words don't come easily. Herod's soldiers came at dawn. They went house to house through Bethlehem and the surrounding villages. They had lists. They had orders. They had swords. I heard the screaming. Everyone in Bethlehem heard the screaming. Mothers wailing, fathers weeping. Dozens of innocent children were killed that day. Dozens of boys, 2 years old and under, murdered because a tyrant feared a prophecy. The prophet Jeremiah wrote about it, centuries before it happened. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more. I didn't know those words then. Ruth told them to me later. She said the prophets had seen everything, the joy and the sorrow, the birth and the blood. She said you can't have one without the other. I didn't want to believe her. I still don't. But I've lived long enough now to know she was right.
I heard him cry the night he came. A newborn's breath, a fragile flame. Hope was born in borrowed space. Heaven resting in his face. But I've heard other cries since then. Mothers calling for their sons. Blood on stone where joy once lay. Cost of fear, the price men pay. And I don't know why light must wound, or why dawn comes so steeped in gloom. But I have seen what God can do with grief, with flesh, with sorrow too.
You're thinking about them.
I'm always thinking about them.
And about the others, the ones who didn't escape?
Yes.
You're wondering how it can be worth it, how one child's life can justify all those deaths.
Isn't that a fair question?
It's the only question, and I don't have an answer, not one that will satisfy you. All I know is what I've seen, a child born in a cave, angels appearing to shepherds, wise men travelling across the world, prophecies fulfilled, one after another. And I know what I believe, that this child will grow up to be something the world has never seen, that he will save not just Israel but everyone, that his life will be worth more than we can possibly imagine.
But the mothers, the children, how do we explain it to them?
We don't. We weep with them. We sit in the ashes with them. And we hold on to hope on their behalf until they're ready to hold it themselves. That's what faith is, daughter. Not having answers. Just refusing to let go of the one who does.
I wish I could explain it all. I wish I had all the answers. But faith is letting go and letting God. It's trusting in the Lord. With all our hearts, leaning not on our own understanding. It's acknowledging Him in all our ways. And despite all the twists and turns, He will make our path straight. The Lord is our strength and shield. Blessed is the one who trusts in Him. The faithful are see us through.
Ruth died that spring, quietly, in her sleep, with a smile on her face. She said she'd seen what she came to see. The others drifted away, Bartholomew to Alexandria, Hannah and Tamir to Joppa. Years passed. Simon died when I was 59, a fever that took him in the night. I buried him beside my parents in the hills above Bethlehem. I kept the inn running as long as I could. Then I sold it to a nephew and moved to Jerusalem to live with my sister's daughter, an old woman with nothing but memories and a story no one quite believed. But I followed the rumors. Everyone did, eventually. The boy had grown. The boy had become a teacher. And the teacher had become something the world had never seen. I was 74 years old when I finally saw him again.
Aunt Leah, slow down. The crowds are too thick.
They're saying he entered the city, the teacher from Nazareth. They're saying he rode in on a donkey and people laid palm branches in his path.
Everyone's talking about him. They say he raised a man from the dead in Bethany.
Lazarus, yes, I heard.
Do you really think he's the one? The Messiah?
I've thought so for 33 years. The crowd surges, shouting in the distance. But the tone is wrong, not celebration. Something darker. What's happening? What are they shouting? They're calling for his death. I couldn't get close. The crowds were too thick, too angry. But I heard what happened. Everyone heard. Arrested in the night, tried by the Sanhedrin, handed over to Pilate, beaten, mocked, condemned. By Friday morning, they were leading him through the streets, carrying a cross, the instrument of his own execution. I found a place on the road, pressed myself against a wall, and I waited. I hadn't seen him since he was less than 2 years old. I had held him in my arms. I had watched the shepherds kneel. I had seen the Magi lay their gifts at his feet. And now, on the road to Golgotha, he looked at me. In all that crowd, all that chaos, he looked directly at me. And I swear he knew who I was. He remembered. His face was blood and bruises, his back was torn, he could barely stand. But his eyes? His eyes were the same peace, the same knowing, the same light I had seen in that cave 33 years ago. I didn't follow him to the hill where they crucified him. But I heard what happened, and I was sick to my stomach. After the third day, rumors began circulating that Jesus was not dead. Other rumors were spreading that his followers had stolen the body. I didn't know what to believe. I was in the marketplace, and I saw her. Mary?
Leah? The innkeeper's wife, from Bethlehem.
You remember me?
Remember you? You gave a shelter when no one else would. You helped bring my son into the world. You stood beside me in that cave. I have never forgotten you, not for a single day.
I saw him on the road to Golgotha. I saw what they did to him.
I know. I was there too, at the foot of the cross.
The sword that Simeon warned you about, the sword that would pierce your soul.
Yes, it pierced.
How did you bear it?
I didn't. Not well, not gracefully. I screamed, I wept, I begged God to make it stop. But I also remembered what the angel had said, what Simeon had prophesied, what the Magi had seen in the stars. I held onto those memories like a rope in the darkness.
And now? They're saying he's alive, is it true?
I've seen him.
Oh, Mary, have you? Have you really seen him?
Last night, he appeared to us, to several of us. He stood in a room upstairs, though the doors were locked. He showed us his hands, his side. He spoke to us. He's alive, Leah. My son is alive. Death couldn't hold him. The grave couldn't keep him. Everything the prophet said, everything the angels sang, it's all true. More true than we ever imagined.
I never asked to be part of the story. I only opened a door. But that's how it works, isn't it? One small yes, one ordinary moment, and suddenly you're standing in the middle of something eternal. I was there when he was born. I was there when he died. And I was there, praise God, I was there when the news came that the tomb was empty. Mary and I sat together that whole day. We talked about the cave, about Ruth and Simon and Bartholomew, about the shepherds who ran through the night and the Magi who followed a star. We laughed and we wept and we marvelled at all of it. She told me what he had said the night before he died.
I go to prepare a place for you. In my father's house are many rooms.
Many rooms. He was still thinking about shelter, still thinking about making room for those with no place to go. That's who he was. From the very beginning. The God who came looking for us. The king who was born in a cave because there was no room anywhere else. Ruth was right. She was right about all of it. The waiting, the watching, the hoping against hope. He came. He lived. He died. And he rose again. Now the story isn't over. It's just getting started.
There was no room in Bethlehem. The doors were closed that night. A king was born in a borrowed cave by a single candle's light. The world had no place for its maker, no cradle, no crown, no throne. Just hay and stone and animal breath and a mother's love alone. He grew up in a carpenter's shop with sawdust in his hair. The Son of God learned human hands and the weight that humans bear. He walked the roads of Galilee with nowhere to lay his head. The foxes have their dens, he said, but I have the stars instead. But oh, what he was building with every mile he trod, a mansion in the heavens, a door straight to God.
There's room for you
in his father's house.
There's room
for you. The one who had no place to sleep is making room for you.
Throw wide the gates, prepare the feast, let every heart break through.
The king who was born where cattle feed.
The outcast of the night. We smelled of sheep and poverty, but he called us to the light. No priest, no king, no scholar came to see him first that day. After angels found us in the hills, we looked for him without delay.
They crossed the deserts of the east. They followed a star sign. They laid their gold and frankincense at feet they knew divine. He welcomed wanderers from afar who sought him from faith and charge. There's room for every seeker's soul. There's room for every heart.
From the lowest to the highest, from the near and from the far, he's gathering his people.
have said no. I didn't know I was part of something eternal. I didn't know he would remember me, but he remembers every open door, every cup of water shared, every stranger welcomed in, every moment someone cared. He remembers every mother's tear, every prayer whispered low, every heart that broke for him, every seed of faith we sowed. He walked the road to Calvary with the weight of every sin. The door that Adam closed in shame, he threw wide open again. They nailed the king to a wooden cross. They thought the story was done. Death itself could not hold back the rising of the sun.
There's room for you.
He walked out of the grave for you. The stone is rolled, the tomb is buried.
He's making room for you. He conquered death, he broke the chains. He's making all things new.
Oh,
the one who rose on the third day
is making room for you. Is there room for the broken?
There's room.
We hope you have enjoyed our Christmas special. Sometimes faith isn't loud or certain. It's quiet and persistent. It's kneeling in an empty place, praying when God feels far away, trusting that silence doesn't mean absence. Even when we cannot see what God is doing, we can believe this. He is still moving, still protecting, still keeping his promises. Join us again next time. Remember, God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full. Today.